I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we get a roll call, please, Cheryl?
Harlan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Hillary?
Here.
Jade?
Yes.
Rita? Rayet?
Here.
Carlene?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Can I get others in attendance on online?
Mm-hmm. We have Austin Roof, Ben Smith, Carter Utech, Dave Nielsen, Hillary Seifert, KSDP, Megan Gatlin, Mr. Bondolowski, and King Cove did come online.
They are. Are they the ceiling?
Yes, that is us in the ceiling. But we are here.
Do you need to call Rita again?
Oh, yeah. And Rita is here.
Check.
Oh, sorry. We didn't know we started. How do we turn on from our end then if we start?
Oh, you're there. Oh, we don't know.
Yeah, when you turn the TV on, it should work.
There we are.
All right. Okay. Can I get others in attendance in King Cove?
Hello.
Ellen Peacock.
Ender Peacock.
And Stephen Dehart is here as well.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that's not on the list? Everybody?
We've got Jack Walsh and myself, Cheryl.
Okay.
I think that's everybody.
All right, thank you. Can I get a approval of the agenda? Oh, Harlan?
I'm trying to make an amendment to the agenda. I'd like to add the lunch program in general.
Business, H-I. H-I. So second. I'll second. So, motion made by Harlan to amend the agenda to add I lunch program under new business, and a second by Hillary. Can I get roll call, please?
Carlene?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Jade?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rayet?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Agenda approved as amended. All right. Next item is the approval of minutes for November 21st, 2022.
Make a motion.
I'll second. Motion made by Harlan to approve the minutes of November 21st, 2022. Second by Hillary. Roll call.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jade?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rayet?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next item is public comments on agenda items. Is there any public online who has a comment on agenda items?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
I would like to request that the executive session where discussion is held regarding my contract for next year be part of a public, be public.
Okay. We don't need a nothing like that. It's just honor that request. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, I think when we get to that part on the agenda, I will just remind you that that was something we did, and we'll have to decide will we do that first in the executive session or last, because most of it will be in private and confidential discussions.
All right. Are there any other public comments on agenda items online? How about in King Cove? You guys got anything?
I don't think so, just during the student reports, but not actual public comments.
Okay, thank you. So there's no other public comments. Next item is the student reports.
We do have some in King Cove, if we could have the floor.
Yep, it's yours.
Hello, I'm Ender Peacock, a student at the King Cove School. I went on the voyage trip, signed out for schools to do, and I was requested to write a letter during the whole old trip, describing it. Dear school board members, I really appreciate that the school board helped make this trip possible for me. I learned a lot of useful things during this trip that I think I can use in the future. It was a great experience that helped me get out of my comfort zone easier than I normally do. I enjoyed the creativity that came along with the activities we did there, a chance at creating things that let our imagination go wild, like building simple circuits that turned on lights and moved gears. And I learned how to modify the programs and robots that we had made each day. To put it shortly, I like the trip very much and would love to do it again. Sincerely, Ender Peacock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ender.
Any other student?
Yeah.
We do have another person who came in after, Jager Brandel. And Ashton Gould.
Hello, I am Jager Brandel, and we went on the ornithology trip to Cole Bay. And yeah, all right. Thank you for letting our class go on this trip. We had so much fun, especially going to the hunting lodges. At these lodges, we learned how people come from all over the world just to hunt species that live here and see the refuge. This makes hunting very important for the community of Cole Bay, and some people make a living as hunting guides.
We did not know that we could make a serious career path of hunting. Some students thought about what they were going to do after high school, and hunting was one of them. So I think the trip was such a good idea because it gave us so many opportunities after high school. Our class learned so much about birds. If there were other classes in the future, this trip should definitely be another opportunity.
Yeah,
good job. Thank you, boys.
Thanks, both.
You guys.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Guys had a basketball practice, so thank you very much.
And that's all we had here in King Cove at the table anyway.
I don't know if I could speak on the Kobe thing.
Yeah.
I did follow up with the refuge manager on all the kids attending. She loved it. She hopes this continues on. She said it was a really good group.
Oh, nice. It sounds like they had a good time. The pictures were great too.
Yes. They really, really enjoyed all the kids, she said. So.
Yeah. I think it really pulls in a huge cultural aspect into their education as well, being able to go over.
Oh, yeah.
And be a part of that. So, all right. Thank you. Next is board reports. have any board reports? Mm-hmm. All right. I went to the winter boardsmanship in Anchorage, and on Friday, I was in the conference with Jack. We had John Sedor. He was presenting, and he was talking about negotiations, and he was giving, you know, the board and stuff tips and different things to do. And, you know, some of them always had their lawyers present for it. But the one thing they have for sure is the business manager is in on all of the negotiations. And the second day we had students there. And I asked Timmy, I said, I didn't realize we had students at the winter conference before. And I guess this is the first year. So it's something new. And there wasn't a lot of them, like there is at YLI, but there still was a few of them. And they came and talked to the board and stuff. And we were asking them questions on different things. And they were talking about how important it is to have a student rep. And that's one of the discussions we had on Saturday was having youth on your board. And I told her we've been trying to get a youth on our board, but, you know, nobody was interested. And she said, just keep trying. So on Monday, I didn't make it. I was originally scheduled to come home Friday. I didn't make it. So Monday, I was going to go up to the school and talk to the kids to see if we can get anybody interested. And then I was going to see if Rita would go and talk to the kids in King Cove and see if, you know, if we can get somebody on the board, it would be great. And then, so I text Amy and I asked Amy if she'd go to the high school side and talk. And then I talked to Nathaniel at the airport and he sounded like he was interested. I told him to get the application from the office and submit it. But then I asked when I came in and there's nothing submitted. So, but the one thing that the students, the only thing they wanted to let us know, I think it was kind of a shy group, is they just said that they want us to listen to them. They said when they have ideas, they would like the school board just to listen. So, and we finished up early on that afternoon because I think the kids were all bashful. But yeah, it was a good conference. John Sedor, he's never boring. I just want to thank everybody. It was a good trip.
I have a question on when the kids are taught or when they're talking about the student's role on the board. I mean, I think it's great that we have that. I'd like to see them to where they're communicating with the other sites. So when they do their report to us, that it reflects all of the district, because really we're choosing one person from one site, but they're representing the whole district just like we do. And so I was thinking about how we would encourage them to talk to like the small schools and the other, you know, to each other so that they can report on the happenings all in all the schools rather than just what's happening in their one school, just as a way to kind of get them a little more involved. So it's not just them coming in and speaking to their own site. Did they talk about,
one school said that on their agenda, they have, you know, because each school has student council. Uh-huh. So on their agenda, they have a spot on their agenda where the president of the student council comes and gives a report to the board every time they have a meeting. So this is something that I was going to bring forth to the board, because that way you'd hear from the students from each site. And then they'd be here telling stuff, and then they'll be hearing what each student says, and they could bring it back into their student council meetings and to their schools and let them know. But they said on their agenda, the president of the student council speaks and gives a report. And I was thinking maybe that's something we could do.
I like that, because I think that we really need to get our youth more involved in the in this process, because all of our communities have different types of boards that people are on. And unfortunately, a lot of people are aging out, and we need to start, you know, bringing more people in so that as that happens, then they're more comfortable, you know, running for a board as they get out of school. So I think having a few extra people, I mean, you have the one person, maybe out of the, if you have the four presidents, maybe those are the ones that the board representative gets nominated from. Maybe we need to kind of revisit that a little bit. And then that person is the voting member for during the meeting. You know, they all give the reports, and then the whoever they choose as their chair out of the four sites would be the voting member. I don't know. I guess it would be something we need to like explore a little bit more and probably workshop. I'm not sure what our policy says exactly. Okay. Thank you, Hillary. Is there any other board reports from board members? All right. Next is the executive assistant report. Cheryl?
My report is in the packet, and I don't have anything to add.
Does anybody have any questions for Cheryl about her report? All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Next up is the Chief School Administrator's report.
And unfortunately, my report is not in your packet. I apologize. It was something I never got to. So I'm going to make a short report. I will forward it to you and ask that you allow it to go into the packet at some point tomorrow. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's just something that I'm sorry I never got to it. I always like to start by giving out some thanks. I really have to thank everybody here, everybody on our staff, everybody on the board, everybody in the communities that have made this first half of the year the great success that it's been. We have some challenges. We have some things out there we're working on. But I'm very happy about how dedicated and committed all the board members are. I'm very impressed with the staff we have, and community members have welcomed me in every community and been very supportive as they've asked, you know, that we do some things different or that we try to help them in other ways. So let's keep that up. Let's keep communicating. Let's really try to make sure that we're doing the best job we can to get things to a real good spot for July when a new person comes in and takes over. And so a lot of that communication stuff, I'm going to be asking people to help us with over the next couple months. We're going to ask you, what kinds of things are you looking for in a new superintendent? We're going to ask you, how is the current superintendent doing? How are the administrators doing? How are the teachers doing? Because that's a part of our evaluation plan that should be, you know, something that we really take the time to look at and examine. I wanted to remind people that January 6th, we're back at work, all the staff, for an in-service day on that day. Students return January 9th. I'm really hoping people have a great break and, you know, get that rest that you all need. And then also anybody traveling, safe travels. We know it's been, you know, a little challenging this week. Some people are a little nervous about getting out and getting home and all that stuff. But hopefully that'll all work out. I do like to kind of give you an upgrade about or an update about some of my travel plans. So I'll be back here on January 4th prior to the in-service, but I will be traveling right after the in-service down to Juneau for a CERC meeting. I'll be there on the 9th and the 10th and returning back this way. To be real honest with you, I'm going to talk to some staff members and some of the communities about possibly leaving Anchorage on my way back from that trip and going straight to King Cove or going straight to False Pass. I want to visit False Pass, King Cove, and Accutan all in the months of January and February. It's been a little while since I've been out to some of the sites, and I need to get there. Probably the most disappointing thing I have in my report for you is that yesterday I did a check with Alaska Industries to find out how things were going on our gym floor. And I was informed that everything's on target. We have a crew ready to go. They'll be out there on the 27th. This morning I woke up to an email that said, you know, I'm sorry, we never bought plane tickets and there's no plane tickets for a month. And so, by, you know, they said, I mean, that's with Raven. They said, is there any other option? Wrote back to him and said, you better check with Lake Clark Air, Yates Air Cargo, somebody, see who can help you. So by the end of today, and a bunch of different exchanges, we do have them available to be here through with Lake Clark on January 3rd. And I'm just worried about how close that cuts to the open of school and stuff. So the two things that would affect mostly, I think, is one is in Sandpoint, and this only involves the one community, so I apologize that we're, you know, taking the time on that. One of the things that we could do is have them come out on January 3rd, do that work. I'm worried about fumes. I'm worried about all the other things you are, but I'm going to hopefully hear from them first thing in the morning and know what they would tell. You know, if we're opening the school on the 6th and on the 9th for kids, is that enough time for the floor to cure? They had originally told me 5 days. And will the fumes clear and dissipate in the building? So I don't know the real answer. The other thing, the second more important thing that I think some of the community would celebrate is, does that mean the gym would be open over the Christmas break? And it would give us an opportunity to have the gym open more over Christmas break. I'll tell you, what's really disappointing about it is I just read through the whole string of emails starting somewhere in August, saying, can we get this done? Because in June and July, when I called them, they never returned my calls. So in August, I wrote to them, and then it seemed to be moving. In September, Jade and other people kind of gave me some input on whether we could do it at Christmas. And so we set everything up. October 20th, they said, we've got the crew figured out, the tickets will be bought. And there was this big void for the last 2 months. So I just checked today. And probably could have checked a month ago, and maybe it would have been a little different. So I apologize, because some of these things that happen, whether it's my fault or not, ultimately we were all counting on this getting done, and now it may not. There was a bunch of phone tag going on. One of the people talked to, I'm guessing it was Austin, because they said it was Dawson Reed. And that's close enough to Austin Roof for, you know, what I was, but I was on the phone with somebody else. And it just happened that, you know, what I called back that time, I was just angry. So I did say, you know, I don't think January 3rd could work. So an hour ago, I sent him an email and said, you know, maybe that's not the message. Maybe you need to tell me, could the fumes clear? Could the building be ready for January 9th or 10th? And so I'm hoping I hear from them in the morning and they say, yeah, Jack, let's go ahead and make this happen. But interestingly enough, my day started with a 9 o'clock meeting at the high school or at the school with somebody who wants to help us with some of our maintenance things. And so it was Emil Movek talking about some maintenance things. So while we're having that discussion, Joe and I are talking with him. And he said, yeah, the last time the floor was done, I did it. So there was this part of me that thought, okay, well, maybe I ought to talk to Amy Mack, who earlier this year said she had helped with the floor at King Cove at least once, or been Emil Movek, and see, should I let Alaska Industries off the hook and just see if I have local people that can help me get it done? Because we wouldn't be, you know, all those other costs might go away. So I'm still trying to work every angle I can, but I just don't know what to tell you will happen right now. Go ahead, Hillary. I'm sorry. I
just think it should be done right by a professional company.
Okay.
I mean, it hasn't been done in a while. Mm-hmm. It should be done right.
Okay. All right. So that was the bad news in my report. I do want to just give a shout out and a thank you to the borough and the city. They've been incredibly supportive of us and everything that we wanted to do. No doubt we've got a lot of projects and a lot of things we've got to get done, you know, in the next number of years. But we'll get some of them done this year. I have always felt very welcomed by the mayor and by other people who have said, you know, if you have a question, come. And every time I've had a question, they've given me good advice. There are people at the city who, again, when I called and said, what about putting signs up about speed limits and stuff and the different things? And that goes for the city of King Cove. That goes for the city of False Pass. People in Accutan who had never met me saw me walking down the street and said, hey, who are you? And when I introduced myself, oh, well, come on in. And so I got to meet with tribal administrators there, too. So I think we have a lot of great partnerships with our tribal organizations, with our villages and our cities. Wanted to thank the coaches and our teams. There was some great sports already this fall, some really good work by the coaches working with kids. again, sometimes that isn't something we thank them enough for. And, you know, finally, I just wanted to say that the superintendent search seems to be moving along exactly as planned. January 6th, all the applications are due. January 20th, we'll meet as a board to pick finalists. February, the week of February 13th, and the dates are February 13th and 14th, we'll have the finalists here in this community. We'll try to link people with Zoom. The board at their work session yesterday, when you said if we've got some empty seats on the plane and we could bring over some teachers or we could bring over the board members and some people to be here from other communities, we're going to do that. So I really appreciate your support on that. And that's my report for today.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Jack? From anyone? No? Okay, thank you very much. Is there any items of district correspondence that need to be pulled for discussion?
Probably the only one I would like to mention is that you did see a letter earlier this month, or late last month, I should say, from the teachers asking that we consider looking at the teacher contract. And I believe that in my discussion with them, that would also be the classified contract. So in executive session today, we'll discuss that and I'll get back with them. We had a number of days to consider this and think about what we might do. I'll get back to them in the next few days and tell them what our plans might be.
Okay, thank you. Next up is the business manager's report. Dave?
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, interim CSA Wells. My report is in your packet, and I don't have anything to add at this time.
Does anybody have any questions for Dave about his report? All right, hearing none, Dave. I need a motion to accept the current financial report.
I'll make a motion to approve the current financials.
This is Brenda.
Second. Motion made by Jade. I heard Brenda first. We'll take Brenda as the second. To accept the current financial report. Make it roll call.
Hillary?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Harlene?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jade?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Department reports. Activities report. Kim, are you on?
He's coming in the hall right now. Just stepping out of practice.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Is there anything you'd like to add to your report? Or?
Oh, is it my turn already?
Sorry.
You just came in time.
Okay, good. Madam President, I have nothing to add to the report at this time. Are there any questions?
Does anybody have any questions about the activities report?
No.
So when do we find out some of this information on these changes that are happening? Is that like something we're going to know by the end of the school year or the next couple months?
Yes, yes. Yeah, the one change is something that we could add or we don't need to make any change in the cross country. It's just something that we need, y'all needed to be aware of. And if you want me to make that proposal to the ASAA, I can work with Mr. Walsh and we can get a proposal made to increase our numbers to state. But again, like I said, that's also going to increase cost.
Okay.
ASIA doesn't care if we send more people to state because it doesn't cost them anything. They're going to have the same meet regardless of if they have more people. So it's just up to us. Since King Cove and Sandpoint is our cross-country regional, we can send a team, you know, like the winning team, which is 5 runners to 7 runners, plus, you know, first few individuals. But it's going to increase our people that we send to state, which is a good thing, but it's also going to cost us more money. And then, the one to the volleyball, that's already going to happen. The only thing that officially hasn't happened is Hooper Bay hasn't officially said which region they're going to, but unofficially they told Region 1 that they wanted to come into our region. And that's going to make it an extremely long trip. And if they do, then it's going to change up the rotation on where the regional tournament site is going to be. Because it's, you know, right now we are rotating. And I asked Patrick Callahan about the rules on that because I couldn't find anything in volleyball. And he says there's really not any rules as far as sites rotation for 1A and 2A volleyball. They have it for 3A, but they don't have it for 1 and 2A. So it's going to come down to what we set up in a Region 1 meeting in February, I think. I believe that's when it's going to be. Or no, it'll be in March. I'm sorry, is that?
Yeah,
during the state basketball tournament.
Right. It'll be right after the state basketball tournament. And, you know, and I appreciate it. Ken came back from the meeting and shared, Jack, they're talking about these things. And I said, well, let's make sure the board's aware of it now, because we do want to respond. And, you know, remember that there are regions in basketball and some other sports that hold their regional meets in Anchorage because they just got, you know, so much travel costs involved. They thought it's better to bring them there. One team then stays on for state. The other teams go back, or maybe two teams stay on for state and the other teams go back. I just wanted to make sure you were aware of this when we were aware of it. But, you know, if somehow or other the state doesn't recognize the rotation, they have added a new person now, a new school now, but it shouldn't change. It shouldn't take us 2 rotations to host, you know, and that's currently what they're talking about. Some of the sites, Dillingham and some other schools, would be in a 5-year rotation, but the 6th year would be one time Hooper Bay it is, right? Mm-hmm. And then one time us.
Yes.
So it might be 10 years between the times it hosts. At least, you know, in the other way, it'd be every 6 years or something.
And then for us, we rotate King Cove 1 year that we have it, and then the next time we have it, it's Sandpoint. So you're talking, you know, 12 years between a site. And I don't think that's good for us.
No. So I guess my question is, like, as a board, what role do we play in this process? Will we just kind of be told what we need to do? Or is there action that we need to take at some point of this?
Not on the rotation unless you have a direct direction you want me to specifically go. I'm assuming that we don't want to do that alternating rotation. I don't think it's good. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ken. What I would suggest that I'll be asking you to do somewhere in January or February, and probably February, I'll ask you to make a, sort of a motion or in some way a resolution that says we do not support, you know, a rotation that has us hosting this every 20 years, you know, in each of the 2 communities in our district. And the other thing is the meeting that Ken goes to, really, the meeting is supposed to involve the superintendents. It rarely does. But every time that Ken goes to a meeting, he goes because I send a letter saying he's there to represent us. So we'll definitely want to give Ken a strong message, but we'll want to send to Region 1 and Patrick Callahan, Ed Lester, all those people that run that region, the message that our board does not support this in any way. And, you know, it just has a stink to it that reminds me of my days in Bristol Bay, where if I was hosting regionals in Bristol Bay, I had to pay for every other team to fly out there, every ticket for every team. And it was so unfair that I fought with it for 3 years. I hosted the tournament and spent the $75,000 one year to bring the people in. But by the time they finally agreed to change it slightly, then they also redistricted and they kicked us out of that same group. So, you know, there's some consequences, but I think you just want to send the strongest message you can and make sure that Ken knows that, you know, we don't want to waver on this, you know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ken. Does anybody else have questions?
I do need some direction on the board for the cross country. Do we want to just leave it now, or which we can, and we just send our top three girls and top three boys out of our two schools cross country? Or do you want to, I'm sure you guys might want to talk about that and then get back to me and let me know.
Yeah, we just need some time to think about it. I can run some numbers and tell the board what it might cost.
I do know that some districts, or I can't remember the schools, but they combined their schools when they go to state. So they'd have five runners so they can compete as a team as well. Right. So you would be like, you're still wearing your Sandpoint jersey. They're still wearing King Cove, but they're running as the district. So they can still qualify as a team if they're, you know, competitive. So that's the cool thing about sending five boys and five girls, but that's just
at the region, they discussed that also, and they said they don't want to do that anymore.
Okay.
They talked about it then. So I'm sorry. You know, if it was possible, I would have said, yeah, we could do that too. But they're not wanting to do that anymore.
So. Good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. If there's no other questions, we'll move forward to the special education report. Hillary?
Thank you, President. I don't have anything further to add to my report. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Are there any questions for Hillary?
No, just look like you've been busy, Dr. Cipher. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brenda.
All right. Hearing none, we'll go on to the technology director, Austin. You are up.
All right. Good evening, everyone, Madam Chair and the board. My report is in the packet. Happy to take any questions if you guys have any.
Anybody have questions for Austin?
Thank you. You're doing an awesome job, Austin.
Thanks, Brenda.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Is Danielle on the line? She's up next. Nope. Okay. Her report is in the packet. I guess you can contact her directly if you have any questions for her. And next is old business, the superintendent search.
Again, we had this on our agenda. We talked about it last month that we'd have it on the agenda every month just to kind of give the community and everybody an update. Our plans are moving along. We met with some people from ASB at that meeting last week that Hillary and I were at. And just wanted to give people, again, the application is open until January 6th. We're anticipating that we should see 10 or 12 applicants, but I don't know exactly what might happen there. I think one of the things about that is after January 6th, our board will get the information from ASB about who's applied and the kinds of qualifications they have. In the meantime, we'll be asking community members, and after that time, we'll be asking, you know, what is it that you really want in your next superintendent? So anybody that has ideas about that, please feel free to reach out to me or board members. Because this is an important decision you'll be making. On January 20th, the board has suggested that's the day we'll do have a workshop for the board members and they'll select their finalists. That is going to be facilitated by Tiffany Jackson, who knows our communities well and our district well, and she works with AASB, so she'll be out here to handle that with us. And then once we pick the finalists, there'll be some information that the district will send to each of them about our budget, about our district, so that they have information they might need to know as they're thinking about coming out here. In the meantime, we've had several calls from people asking questions and, you know, wanting to make sure they knew what the process involved, you know, so that they could be better prepared. After the January 20th date, the next thing you'll see is that on February 13th and 14th, the finalists will be in Sandpoint. We have had requests from people if we would consider sending them to every community. I just don't think it's feasible, but we will be doing a lot of the events for those 2 days will be on Zoom and available to anybody who's in the district. I also really appreciated that one of the students had suggested that we try to engage people as much as we could from the different communities. So again, that's why I mentioned in my report that when we bring board members over, we will have a few empty seats on some of the planes. And if there are community members that would like to be, coming over here, and that includes staff, that includes, you know, some students that might want to be considered, we'll do what we can. Obviously, one plane can only hold so many people. But what we did talk about yesterday at the workshop is maybe we would have two planes, and the two planes would, you know, be able to get our board members from King Cove and Falls Pass and other community members from either of those to get them here. I apologize to Accutan. I'm just not sure that that's something we'll be able to do, but we'll try to work with people from Accutan to make sure they're involved in the ways they can.
Maybe there's a community member or somebody who's already traveling in Anchorage where we could be like, okay, we can maybe bring them here if their position is relevant and it would be, feasible. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way to include them if it's at all possible.
Sure.
It is more financially helpful if they're already in one spot to get them out this way. So I don't know, just something to put out there.
No, I appreciate that. As I was saying it, I was uncomfortable saying it. So we will work, you know, if there's someone in Accutan who really wants to, you know, be here and they've got an idea of how they could maybe, you know, we could get them from Anchorage, we could get them from Cold Bay or somewhere, that might be something we could easily do. So,
right.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up. And that's all I had really on the superintendent search at this point, but, you know, I'm interested in taking any questions people have or ideas, because people have given us some good ideas already.
Are there any questions from the board? Nope. No questions. Okay. Thank you for that. Next is handwriting and typing.
Well, at the work session yesterday, I shared that we have had some conversations about what we're going to do in handwriting and typing to work with our staff to see, you know, what kind of materials people need and what we could do to incorporate more of this into our regular curriculum and into the daily activities of students. I'm really glad and grateful that the principals at both King Cove and Sandpoint have picked this up, and they've been working with their staff on this issue. And while it's there today as an old business item, so we don't let you think we've forgotten about it, I believe it'll be next month when we come to you with, we've had the discussions, we've got the input we need, here's the materials we need, and there'll probably be a purchase order that we'll be asking you to help us with. We're also talking on January 6th about curriculum and some of the things we're trying to do in the district, and the handwriting and typing will be part of that discussion as well. So that's the update I'd like to give you tonight.
Thank you. Are there any questions on that? All right. Next item is new business.
Board bylaws, BP 9320 for first reading.
Well, what I'm going to do an introduction and then I'll stop there. But the board bylaws basically tell us how to function as a board, and they give us ideas about how we're going to handle things and how our meetings will go. This particular bylaw is all about our meetings. And what we discovered was we were meeting at times that we weren't necessarily, you know, in sync with what was in the policy. We had a policy that says we would meet a certain number of times a year, but really didn't give any real direction about when those months might be and stuff like that. So it's hard for the community to know when we're meeting to so they can participate. And the board met and talked about making some changes. So, you know, currently the slight changes we made were to change the time of when meetings will start, and also to make sure that we had a day of the month that's set as the time for the meetings. This month is the first time where we had a work session on one evening and the board meeting on the next. So, you know, again, historically, we had had work sessions at 2 p.m. or so on the same day as the board meeting. So I'm going to stop there. I think the intent today was to put this out in front of the public and to read it so everybody knows what it says. That gives you a chance to later in the meeting to make any public comment that you may want about that. But also next month, it'll come up again and you could, make any public comments then and recommendations about changes. And feel free to do that between the two meetings as well.
So, yeah, can I get a motion to put the BP 9320 on the floor for first reading?
This I'll is make a motion. Make that motion. I'll second. Cheers.
Okay, Harlan made the motion, put it on the floor. Brenda seconded. Brenda, roll call, please.
Jade?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, it is on the floor. Is there, I'm going to read the changes so that anybody listening can hear what the changes are. It is, so regular meetings, the board shall adopt a yearly calendar specifying the date, time, and place of each regular meeting. The local media shall be provided with the annual calendar of regular board meetings and shall be notified of any changes to the calendar. And here's where the changes start. The board shall hold, it was 7, and we have put up to 10 regular meetings per year unless changed by the board. Regular meetings shall be held at, it did state 7, and it's being changed to 6:30 p.m. at designated sites. Unless, and this was added, unless changed by the board, regular meetings shall take place on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Notice of regular meetings shall be posted at least 5 days prior to the meeting. So that is what it will be saying. Is there any discussion on this? Hearing no discussion, then what's the next process? That's it? We're just, okay. And the next meeting we will finalize if everybody agrees. So the next one is droplet purchase.
Thank you. So months ago, you heard us talk about, and I heard you mention earlier when we did the kind of the roll call of who is at our meeting, that Ben Smith is here. He's joining us from Wisconsin, and Ben is the person who's helping us with droplet. So one of the things that I would tell you is that we went into an agreement with droplet to kind of put some forms online and to try to work on electronic versions of forms we've historically done with paper and pencil or pen. And so we started with some business forms that employees would use. but we've seen some great benefits to this, some time-saving measures, and some things that will help us in our, you know, just efficiency as a district. We're a small district. We don't have a lot of people here that can do all that stuff. So, you know, we're doing this, and we like what we're seeing. Our response from people is good. So now we want to shift and go to what we had talked about at the beginning. We'll do a little trial. If that works, we'll try to put the whole package together. And so we now have a proposal to go ahead and go to the full year's plan with unlimited forms that they'll create. The full year's plan is $30,000. You'll see that the proposal is that we've already paid seven. We'll pay an additional 23. In fairness, you know, I just want to make sure that we're clear about this. For the next couple of years, that $30,000 is a reoccurring charge, you know, an annual charge of $30,000. After the third year, it drops down to $15,000. So in those first 3 years, the anticipation is we'll have a lot more work on the forms and we'll need to, you know, modify things and get the feedback from people and say how it's working and make the changes. There'll be less of that moving forward, but this helps us, you know, maintain that level of service through our work with Droplet. So I would like to suggest that we move to approve that cost and you know, sign our agreement with them here in the next few days.
Does Ben have anything he wants to share if he's on, since he's here? Or does anybody have questions they would like to ask? Oh, okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the annual cost of $30,000 to Droplet for their services.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
This is Jade. I'll second.
Okay. Motion made by Brenda, seconded by Jade. Roll call, please.
Carlene?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carlin?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Jade?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ben, for being online, and Jack for figuring that out for us. The next item is the HVAC software purchase.
Okay, so one of the things that, you know, every once in a while is we're doing some capital improvement projects and some upgrades to things. This is an upgrade that was first suggested in 2019, and we didn't do it. Since then, we've had some system failures and some things that we know we have to do it now. We've worked with the borough on this. The cost of doing this HVAC software upgrade is $34,000. There are $34,402. There are some additional costs that involve buying a computer, you know, being prepared for other things that we may discover we need to work on. In conversation with the borough, they had the information they felt they needed to go ahead and approve this. They wanted to make sure that we gave them our commitment that the computer and other things that are, you know, peripheral to this were things that we would take care of, and we have. I don't know what we'll discover once we put new software in there that is maintaining, you know, the heating and the airflow at the school. And if things come up, we'll share that with you. We'll talk with the borough about that. But this seemed like an opportunity that we can't pass on. And I really do appreciate the work. You know, in the last item, you thanked me for what I did. The reality is that you know, Dave Nielsen and Austin really helped with this. This one is another one where Austin really helped a lot. Him and Joe have been working at the school trying to regulate the airflow and the temperatures. And we know we get reports from teachers some days that it's very cold, some days it's very warm. That could happen from different rooms on the same day. So they've been doing a lot of manual overrides and stuff. We're hoping this software will, again, get us back on track with a system that's easy to adjust and maintain and monitor. So I'd like to suggest, you know, that you approve the purchase of this system, the Niagara N4 upgrade, and as recommended by the engineers that the borough is using, And thanks for your consideration.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to approve the purchase of the DDC Niagara.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion made by Harlan, seconded by Carlene. Roll call, please.
Rita?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jade?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next is the pool locker room plumbing proposal.
Again, I want to thank, you know, the people that are working on our pool, and we'll talk about that next. But as we prepared for the pool to reopen, we were doing some checks on the locker room, and we have some issues with showers. We have some issues with toilets. We have some issues with drains. I initially believed we had simple, you know, single issues, you know, that I was going to ask a plumber who was working here, can you help us fix that? He went back to his company, and they put together a proposal that kind of surprised me. It was for $31,000 worth of work. And then I've since had conversations with board members and other people that there may even be other items that need to be looked at there. So more recently, I've talked with this company. It's Living Waters out of Anchorage. And they have told me that they're going to revisit their proposal and see if there's a way that they could give me more accurate information about what the different things cost. Because they wrote it as if they might have to replace flushing mechanisms in all the toilets and all the urinals. And yet we knew there was at least one that didn't work, but we weren't sure that we needed it for 13 or whatever the number was. And then they also, we had some leaky valves and things on some of the showers. But, you know, the proposal almost suggests that they're going to replace all the showers. So then I've since learned that, well, wait, you were just talking about the boys' locker room. There's some issues in the girls' locker room that I wasn't aware of. So we're working on this. Again, I just want, it's an informational item because you don't have to vote on anything. We're not signing on to anything right now. But it is something that we're trying to get figured out. And thankfully, when I mentioned it to people just yesterday, they said, oh, well, are you aware of the problems in the girls' locker room? And I said, no. And then they shared some of those. So, you know, when we do this, we need a more in-depth sort of study of what exactly needs to be done. I thought we were talking about a drain pipe that probably had to be fished, you know, that you had to run the thing down and clean it out. But we've since heard from other people that know the building a little bit that, well, it may be a bigger issue than that. There might be other issues with the pipe. So I just want to give you the heads up again, like so many other times, this is something we're working on. And when it's time to give you, you know, something that's more of an action item, you know, I'll have worked through it with the borough and everybody so that everybody knows what we're going to do.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions? All right, we'll roll right into the swimming pool update and equipment discussions.
Okay, and so, you know, this was an item on your work session yesterday, and I appreciate the board members are aware of what we talked about. Other people might not. But one of the things is that, you know, I wish I could tell you the pool is open and everything's up and running. We have been informed by the borough and by the companies working on it that there's probably about a week and a half of work left to get the pool ready. The one other issue that's out there that they don't have a real good timeline on right now is there's a heat exchange that I think is for heating the water that has a crack in it that has to be replaced. And there's some concern about a timeline for when that might be available here locally. So when they tell me that something needs about a week or a week and a half, all I have to ask is, well, when do you think that week or a week and a half of work will happen? Because I thought a lot of it was going to happen this fall, and they just kept running into problems with, you know, employees who couldn't be here for a period and stuff like that. So I'm leaning towards thinking that this might all be done in the middle of January. I don't think it's likely that people are going to show up a lot over the holidays, and so it might be mid-January. as people got excited about the pool being open and kids and parents and everybody else, our other communities that will use the pool from time to time, one of the things people were asking about, what about some of the things we used to have there? There's a ramp that sometimes helps our elderly and our disabled get in and out of the pool. There has been ladders and basketball rims and other kinds of things that people were saying, well, do you think we could get any of those things back? And so today, as an example, I stopped to talk with Leah just because I saw her at the school and said, you know, are we in any kind of shape that we could open up the pool? Do we have lifeguards? Do we have people there? And she said that there are some people ready to go when the pool's ready to go. But I, you know, I just threw this out because as we're talking about, you know, the borough's efforts to fix the pool and all the money they've invested in, still not knowing all the money that it might cost. Things like basketball rims or things like a ramp or things like, you know, other kinds of toys and things that we could put there, a slide or anything else people might suggest. Those are probably going to fall into the ballpark where we would buy them as a district. And so I wanted the board to be thinking about, you know, what things should we do? How should we have a community meeting or invite people to give us some input? You know, what's a number that we could put on what we'd spend on something like this? So Dave could tell us, you know what, I think you could spend a couple thousand dollars. Maybe you could spend $5,000. I don't know what he would say, but I know I needed direction from you. And I just wanted to put this out in front of you tonight so that over time we could hear more from you and the community. And when we're ready to get operational, we've made some decisions about this stuff.
We can ensure that there will be the chemicals will be here on site, so when they do fill the pool, we don't have to wait for another month for chemicals to be here. When there's
well,
just because of our freight boat situation, I mean, that would be, I don't know, just a suggestion.
Yeah,
just to ensure that that's ready too.
Well, I did, you know, thanks for mentioning that, because when I talked to Leah, one of the things she said is that the one challenge we have, just when she was just talking about things she's thinking about, we don't have one certified as the person to do the maintenance of the pool, the chemicals and all that stuff. And so she shared with me that the lady that does the training on that typically wants people to have a group of five people that can do it. She said in the past, her, the principal, and one other person were trained to do it, and they could all kind of fill in and help each other. So, you know, we're going to need to get a couple people trained. I don't know what that is involved. She said most of it is by Zoom or something. They've done that with us. So just know that, yeah, there's some chemicals and some other things we got to get together too. And I'm glad you're mentioning it, because it would be nice if we could stockpile some of this here. So it's when we open, and then for those first months, we've got the stuff we need.
I mean, she might already have the, there might already be stuff there, but I'm always thinking about, like, let's just be prepared. If it opens, if it's ready to go in January, let's get it open in January. So, okay, thank you. Does anybody else look like somebody was trying to speak? Anybody? Any discussion? No? Okay. The next information is the mid-year budget adjustments and recommendations.
And again, you know, one of the things that I've had a big learning curve, you know, just trying to figure out all the different ways that we operate. This is typically a time in the year where we can look at how we spent our money the first half of the year, what we're doing well on, where we're over, you know, spending what we had planned, and the kinds of things that are being neglected or not, you know, attended to enough. And so we've had, you know, different teachers, different community members, different board members say, hey, is there any chance we could do something more to support X, Y, or Z? That, you know, the reports tonight on what the Cold Bay kids were able to, or the King Cove kids were able to do over at Cold Bay, the report about kids going to a voyage, you know, experience over at Chugach School District. Those are all things that you were willing to say, you know what, we didn't budget for these things, but let's make it happen. It was important for the kids, and we heard tonight how much they enjoyed that and appreciated that. So, you know, this is a time where we can start talking about that for this year, adjustments we might make, but also thinking about building next year's budget. So I just wanted to make sure that we put this out in front of people, get some of those, you know, conversations going. And in the next, you know, few weeks, I'll be working with our business manager and with people here on our staff to see what kinds of things are there. I know I'll come in with some proposals, but I know board members and others have ideas of things we should be considering. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew now's a good time to bring those out, whether it's in this public meeting or at other times. So at least we can consider that when we're looking at the shifts and changes we might do.
Is that something we have like a workshop, like to where we just kind of sit and discuss? Would that be a workshop agenda item of budget adjustments?
You could easily do that. You know, some of you have greater experience with the district than I do, but, I think we would kind of listen to Dave for direction on what he's done in the past and what he thinks has worked well to serve the communities. I do know that when we talk about developing the new budget, you'll definitely want to have some public forums and workshops so people can give some input and, you know, talk to you about what they'd like to see, you know, or changes they'd like us to consider.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? All right. Sand Point School Bus Update.
Again, we talked about this at length in our work session yesterday, but for community members, you know, the memo that we put out here said that we've recently identified we could get training for bus drivers for the CDL part of it, but that training comes at a cost of about $20,000 per, you know, person. And we're just struggling with whether that's possible to do. We haven't had a lot of people come forward and say they want to do that training. And when we found out it involves living for a month in Palmer, that makes it even more difficult for people with families and other commitments on jobs. So, you know, I'm trying to be creative about finding a solution. And I have mentioned to the board, I've mentioned to some of our staff and our principal here in Sand Point. This is an issue, again, that just really involves Sand Point. King Cove is a really great system set up, and Donnie's been driving the bus a long time, and he even has a backup person who's there when he's not available. We don't have those things available here, but I'm going to keep looking. And I just wanted you to know that I've also talked to the board about the possibility of maybe considering vans, and the board suggested that I go talk to our insurance carriers and with our attorneys about, you know, how feasible that would be, because we think for the numbers of kids we move, having a van would help. And in fairness, for all those parents in Sand Point that have been helping us out and getting their kids to school and helping neighbor kids get to school and stuff like that, we're very grateful. But board members and other people have said to us, Jack, if you could even run the bus on one of those routes, the morning one, the afternoon one, the after sports ones, if we could pick up some of that load. Some of the parents are making 5 and 6 trips to the school every day. And, you know, it gets weary and tiresome and not to mention expensive. So we're trying to find solutions. If anybody has good ideas, please feel free to give me a call or, you know, talk to a board member about that.
Thank goodness we don't have a long commute, because I couldn't imagine being in Anchorage where they don't, half the time their kids don't have buses. I mean, there. So all I know is I'm thankful that it's only a 2 or 3 minute drive and not a 20 or 30 minute drive. Does anybody have questions on that? Discussions? No? Okay. Hey, 2023-2024 administrator and teacher contract plans.
You know, tonight is a night I just wanted to make sure that the public was aware and all of our staff is aware that, you know, we are going to try to be giving out our contracts in January and February. In January, we're going to try to give out all the administrative contracts and to give out contracts for any of our tenured teachers. You know, our goal, of course, is to create some stability. Our goal is to encourage people, you know, that we want them back and that we hope that they'll choose to stay with us again. You know, and so we will give out those contracts first. And then the state regulations and rules say non-tenured people can get their contracts later in the year. But we want to do it early, you know, in this winter, before the spring happens and the job fairs and people, you know, spend start thinking about moving. It's going to be hard to find teachers again this year. So, you know, for the benefit of the teachers, for the benefit of the community, we will get those contracts out over the next 2 months. You know, at the same time, our evaluation plans do encourage us to get feedback from community members and from, you know, students about how our teachers are doing. And so one thing that we're going to see is that there will be some surveys where you can give us some input on how I'm doing, how principals and administrators are doing, how teachers are doing. And again, that's all stuff that'll be important to kind of review as we think about, you know, our next contracts and continuing with people. So.
Okay, thank you. Any of the board have questions about that process? Nope. Okay, thank you. I is the added item, the lunch program.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so the lunch program. Again, for community members who are listening, we talked about this yesterday at our workshop. And what I would say is that we have lunch programs in two of our sites. We don't have them in two other sites. We have had some turnover and some staffing that, you know, again, you know, since the year started. But we've been very lucky that we found some local people who are very interested in, you know, working in our schools with the lunch program and people that are doing a great job. When I was in Accutan, people in Accutan asked me, is there anything we can do to support the kids there with snacks or lunch program? And I know in False Pass last night during our workshop, you know, we were updated a little bit about what's going on currently in False Pass and plans that that community might have to try to support students in their lunch programs as well as they do other programs for elders. So, you know, it was Harlan that asked that we could do this on our agenda, and he wasn't available yesterday. And I know that the discussion was really important to people. And, you know, I'm grateful that you stop and you talk about this. When it was asked, could we put this on the agenda yesterday? People said yes. When it was asked to be put on the agenda today, people have said yes. I think one of the things that I learned yesterday is, because of some of the transitions, some of our newer staff members, there's some training and some support that they might need that we haven't provided them yet. And I want to make sure that another thing I try to take advantage of is one of our cooks was a cook for Head Start before they came to cook for us. The other cook has not had that experience. So the two cooks can help each other too with what they're serving in their different menus and what kinds of plans they have about ordering and stuff. Because again, even just, you know, not too many of us have served 70 people a day for 5 days in 1 week, let alone a whole school year. So we've got some training and some other things we've got to do, and I'm going to work with the staff on that. But I think it's on the agenda just in case there's other things that you wanted to share or community members wanted to tell us later about what we could do to make things better.
I have, if you guys are interested, I can give you guidance to the state's e-learning modules that teaches cooks about meal patterns and those types of things. I mean, it's kind of geared towards the CACFP food program, but it gives you a basic foundation of what a meal pattern should look like. And so I think it's helpful for anybody who's just starting out, because when I sat through it this year, even after understanding meal program, there was a lot that I was like, oh gosh, I didn't realize that. And so I can send you the links. It's just on the state website. The e-learnings are free, so it doesn't cost anything, just a little bit of time. I'd be more than happy to share that information.
And in fairness, I think one part of the conversation that I've had in private with people and one part of the conversation I felt walking away yesterday, in all honesty, I don't know that I asked the the principals or even myself to take a little bit more of the oversight of these programs and to kind of make sure that the meals we're serving are things that people would be proud of and things that would be nutritional. You know, as hard as it is to always admit, we have families where this might be the only meal the kids can really count on for the day. And that makes it even more significant that we do a good job of providing a balanced nutritional meal. And, you know, there were reports that there were days where we weren't doing that. So that, I think, is why this is on the agenda, why it's been asked to talk about again tonight. And we hope people will help us, you know, do a better job in the future.
And I think we can also direct people back to the board policy where it talks about what, I mean, it's not specifics, but it does talk about the nutritious meals that need to be provided. So any other discussion?
I don't know if you had others.
Well, that was perfect. You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So moving on, next on our agenda is personnel. A, new hires.
Yeah, so we've had one new hire in the last month, and that is Vincent Cadino. Vincent is helping us out in Accutan. He's an instructional aide. In fairness, full disclosure, he is the cousin of our new teacher out there, our head teacher, Isaiah. This is his cousin, and he encouraged him to come out and to help out because we weren't finding anyone locally that could do it. And so Vincent picked up in California, came out here. We interviewed him. We liked him. I thought we were going to be interviewing him in California. He had come out to Accutan the weekend before. So, you know, he's there. He started right away, and all reports are that he's fitting in really well and doing a good job. So, you know, again, these are always things that you're doing after the fact, you know, because we've hired people and now you're just responding to it. I'm happy with what I'm hearing so far, and I hope that continues.
All right. I get a motion to approve the new hire.
I'll make a motion to approve the new hire.
I'll second. Okay. Motion to approve new hire Vincent Cadino by Harlan, seconded by Hillary. Roll call.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jade?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carly?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. It doesn't look like there's any resignations in the packet that I can see. So
that's correct.
Right. The next item is public comments on non-agenda items. Are there any public comments on non-agenda items? We'll start in King Cove.
We don't have any here.
None there. How about online? Is there anyone? I see Sarah Schaefer is talking, but I can't hear what she's saying.
I'm not talking.
Oh, okay. Your phone come up, it says you are.
I'm trying to.
So if there's nobody who has any comments, I guess we will close that and move to board comments. And let's start with Brenda. We haven't seen you for a while, so do you have any board comments?
No, I'm just very, very pleased how the teachers are doing, though, because I talk to people in all the communities at some point in the day, and everybody's so happy school's going on, talking about the good things they've been doing, and so it's really inspirational. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Jade?
Just want to thank all our staff for all their hard work and wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Harlan?
Same as Jade. She has a grown head. Perfect.
Hillary?
Same as Jade. And also, I hope all of our teachers and admins that are traveling, that they get out on time and to their destination before Christmas. Safe travels.
Carlene?
Yeah, I was pleased that there was no resignations, but Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you. Rita? Yeah.
It's Jack's doing.
I don't know who's in charge of the chat thing, but there's been the chat. There is a, just out of, I don't have any comments, but I just have observation that the chat, there has been a number one since the get-go. So I don't know who's in charge of looking at our Zoom screen.
Megan was looking at first.
Oh, thank you, Rita. I guess Austin got that resolved, whatever was the issue.
Perfect. And then I guess with all on with the Zoom comment is, this is the first time that I guess that we were late coming on, but we were actually here. And so how is it this time we had to wait for you guys to call us? Is there a way that we start it from here, or is that something that we're just starting to do this year?
I've been doing it the same way on my end. I don't know why there's been issues.
We're not sure. Is Austin still on?
Yeah, I can speak to that if you guys like.
Please.
Yeah, so the way that Zoom is set up is that you have these things called Zoom rooms, and you can get usual people and then like the district office, King Cove, their special clients called Zoom rooms. And you can set up the conferences to automatically invite these rooms in, which you see with the district office. King Cove has historically done this, and as of the workshop yesterday, it has stopped doing it. So I do not know why it stopped doing this on the workshop yesterday. I need to investigate it, but that is why I had to go in there and manually bring in the King Cove Zoom room. So I do apologize for that, Rita. I'll look into it right away and figure out what's going on.
Thank you, Austin. My main, just bringing it up, is that just so that way, you know, next time we'll be prepared. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rita.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So I guess I'll go last. I don't have any comments except for Merry Christmas. And I want to thank all the staff and support the people that provide support to our schools, because I think they're doing an amazing job. And it's really nice to see happy faces. And I hope everybody gets out and back. I heard one of the flights back is already canceled in January. So check your dates.
January 7th.
January 4th.
January 2nd canceled.
And the 4th.
Sounds like all of January canceled.
So
that's the day I was coming back. I haven't seen that email yet. I was told my trip on the 7th was canceled.
Okay, so check your travel dates, people. And if you can make it back, the floor polishing thing here might have to extend out. Depending on if people can get in and out of places, maybe we'll be like Anchorage and have to go to school 3 hours or an extra half hour late every day for a month. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. That's all I have. The next item is the agenda items for the next meeting, which would be the superintendent search, the BP 9320 second reading.
This is going to be, what's the dates we're thinking?
The 4th, January.
Fourth Tuesday
in January.
And just
when were we going to have a meeting when people were here, though?
Oh.
Because people are coming on the 20th. Yeah. So I don't know if we want to do an in-face meeting since board members will be here.
We're already making it. We haven't even approved our policy yet. We're already making changes that we say in our policy we can do. Yeah, we would definitely want to have
that policy won't be in place until after the next meeting anyway, if everything goes as planned. So I guess, we should have our meeting, what, on the 20th? Or the day before?
Well, the 20th, they come in, right?
No.
The 20th, Tiffany Jackson will be here. That's when we pick the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So the evening would be nice.
Yeah, so we could do something in the day with Tiffany. Have a board meeting that night, let everybody that made it here go home the next, day.
So January 20th will be our next meeting.
So we can have an in-face meeting.
Okay. Mark it on your calendars.
And again, we recognize that all of you have jobs and stuff in between a meeting on the 20th and turning around on the 13th and 14th to try to be here. It's going to be a challenge for some people, but please, to the extent you can, please try to be here for both.
I could get a follow up on the lunch program.
Yep. And probably the writing and typing thing, too. Because, I was saying I'd probably bring that to your next meeting. You'll definitely see, contracts for some of our employees.
And then whatever else is on, there was policy review, which is always a staff evaluation process, curriculum update, the legislative fly-in, and the scholarship rubric. I think that's all I have.
I don't think Austin will have some news for us maybe then, too.
Who?
Austin. With their new provider.
Oh, that's right. The
E-rate discussion.
Yeah, well, let's make sure we put it on the agenda. I don't know exactly where we'll be in the process.
Right.
But that
at least we can get some. Right,
an update on it.
Right. I was just curious. I don't know if Dave would be able to help us out on this, but with we didn't budget for the King Cove to go to Cold Bay, and we didn't budget for Voyage for we sent students. So, and I just wanted to see how it worked in our budget midway, and if this is something that we can add to our budget every year, so we can go and plan for it in our budget. So,
is there a way we could add sampling to Kobe? At least look at it. I mean, it was a great experience for them.
I know. I
really, really loved it. Eisenach loved it.
So, what if you plan like a ferry trip for Sandpoint to Kobe in the springtime?
Yeah.
There's no spring ferry. Summer or fall?
They went in November, right?
They went very late this year. And in the discussions leading up to this trip, the ferry was discussed. There is a window where the birds are migrating. And, some of it does fall in line with the ferry service. But it is something where, a big part of why Stephen suggested that with his students is he actually has a class on studying birds, right? He actually has a marine science class. So, as Joe and the staff are going to at Sandpoint are going to be looking at the curriculum that we offer here on January 6th for part of that day. These are all things that will come together. But I think it's important to remember that, hey, if this was something that was really valued by one group, chances are kids in other communities would value it too.
And towards the end of the season like that, Eisenbach's well-staffed because they just got done with the duck season. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we have the planes where they do go Sandpoint, Cold Bay, and Cold Bay to Sandpoint. Yep. So, this is something.
Yep.
So I just was wondering how it looked in our budget,
Sure.
And if this is something we can plan in it.
And, one of the reasons why I had it on the agenda today so that, I wasn't sure Do we just throw it to Dave and say, Dave, can you give us an update of where we are on everything? But I think what I'll do is I'll work with Dave on some things. We'll come back to your meeting next month and say, you know what, this is where things kind of fell out this first semester. Here's some additional things we hadn't budgeted that we were able to do. Here's some things we had planned to do we weren't able to do, because we've had those discussions about YLI and other things where we put money there, but didn't have kids or staff members that could do it. So, you know, or board members. So, you know, we'll give you a better report of the actual numbers.
Okay. Something else that I was just thinking that was needed to be on the agenda. I don't remember, but it'll come back to me eventually, and we can add items.
And please remember that the board agenda is typically developed by me and the president. So, you know, Cheryl has a big role in that. Please get the information to Cheryl. Get the information to Rayette. Get the information to me so that when we, you know, have the agenda, we've considered all the important things you want to talk about.
Okay. Now that we know the date and the times for the next meetings and our agenda items, and next on our list is executive session.
So did we want to do Joe's first and open, or do we want to go into executive session and do Joe's after executive session?
Okay, and if I could, I just want to kind of give you a sort of an update. Rita, earlier when you asked the question about getting pulled into the room, you know, I wanted people to recognize that earlier you may have seen us here, and we were talking a little bit before the meeting started. And so, and then we, you know, at some point started the meeting late. So part of that was my fault. But what we have an executive session is set up when we want to discuss things that have a financial impact to the district or other things that, you know, we're considering doing that are important to talk about, but may not need to be public knowledge at this time. So the three items that we're going to talk about in executive session are the superintendent evaluation. And again, because I have a slightly different title, we're talking about my evaluation right now. Okay. And then the other one, the next one was some personnel matters about 23-24 contracts and the certified and classified contracts. And so those are things that are all very important for us to be dealing with now. But as you heard earlier in the meeting, contracts will not be coming out until January and February. So today we wanted to talk as a board privately about that. And what's unusual about tonight's executive session is whenever we're going to talk about contracts or people, you know, that work for us, we have to let them know that we're going to do that, because they may say, well, can I come to the meeting? And it's up to the board to decide if they want to invite a person in or not. And I don't always know what the board would do there. More often than not, they don't invite the people in. And then the other thing that that person then can say is, would you allow the discussion about my contract to happen in public? And that's what was asked tonight. So we're going to go and we're going to deal with Mr. Vondolowski, a conversation, not about all the details of his contract, but about some things there. And he's asked that we do it in public, so we will. And then we have these other things that are on our agenda that will not be public and we won't discuss in public. So, you know, part of the meeting will be open and part of closed. And Hillary's question is the important one. Now, when I was talking to the group before we, you know, went live with everybody, the question came up, should we have our attorney involved? Because he had talked about, you know, well, you're going into executive session, sometimes you want me to be available. He's not available tonight. So one of the things about that is I just want to say that, you know, whatever you decide, you know, we could do Mr. Vondolowski's now, then say to everybody that now we'll go into executive session, however long that lasts. We will always close executive session and then come back into the regular meeting to it, to say if there was any action taken, which we can't take in executive session, and then to adjourn the meeting. But it is something that whether you do it first or you do it last, it's entirely up to you. The only thing was we'll need Austin's help, that nobody can be in the executive session but the people that are from, you know, the board. So, unless you decide to invite other people. Sorry.
So The motion would be, like, if we're going to handle Joe's first, the motion would be to enter into an open executive session to discuss his contract, because his, because that's what's listed under executive session. So, or a public...
I don't think it's an open executive session. I just think we're just discussing an admin contract. Right?
Right.
Because he wants it.
I was just trying to figure out what the, if there, does there have to be a motion for us to start discussing his contract?
Well, he's asked us to take it out of executive session, so maybe that's the cleanest. Have the discussion with him now, then make the motion to go into executive session and then complete the other work.
Okay. All right. So,
And he has been notified, you know, Joe and I talked earlier today that, you know, because it won't be an executive session, anybody who's listening can hear the kinds of things we're talking about. So,
okay. I guess we're ready to discuss that then.
Does that sound good to you, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. So my goal tonight was just to talk to you about the contracts that I'll be bringing forward. And one of the things that I had to fall back on was when I got hired in May, board members shared with me that in the past, there were times where you weren't aware of administrative contracts or you weren't aware of the details of them. And so as a result, that was something that you just felt wasn't really fair, that you really should know what's going to be there. And so while I will not talk about all the details of what a contract might say for Joe or any other administrator, when we go in executive session, we'll talk in general about the administrative contract. So for Joe's request now, it's about his. And I think that I've been fair with the board. I think I've been fair with Joe. You know, when I got here and discovered that Joe was going to be our principal, I was happy to see that. I was glad that people had hired him already. And then as things started to unfold, there were some questions that I had, and I wasn't sure how the board would want me to handle them. So as you've all learned over time, Mr. Vondolowski has a lot of experience working in schools in Oregon, Michigan, you know, in Alaska. I'm sure I'm leaving out some other places, but, you know, he's got a long career working in schools. Most of the schools he worked with were charter schools and I would say Christian schools. There are public school experiences as well. And so one of the things that when I took over the job, I noticed that he was working under an emergency contract or an emergency certificate. So as I started to look into that, you know, it was just concerning to me that there were things about his emergency certificate that I wanted to know, where is he in the process of being fully certified? And then how are we going to get there? So I've been telling him since the summer, you know, the emergency certificate was only allowed because the district superintendent said that he would sign on to that, and that Joe and the district superintendent knew what it would take for him to be fully certified as a principal, and that, you know, Joe would work on that to make that happen. During that process of their, you know, hiring, Joe also signed a contract that says he's going to have a certificate as a principal and meet the requirements of that and hold it the whole time he's in that job. I knew in our district, we have principal teachers in some sites and we have principals in other sites. And there were reasons why, you know, for size mostly, that those decisions were made. So I've now had a chance to work with Joe for 4 months and 5 months, and all of you have seen Joe and you've seen how our school is functioning. I think we have some good things going on at the school. I think we've got a great crew of teachers, some great things going on with all of our staff. And I have to tell you, it's a credit to Joe and the people that are up there working every day doing this. I don't know what last year was like, but it sounded like it was fairly chaotic. And this year is not chaotic. You know, I do appreciate that. So, you know, as the guy who's here for a year and trying to think about what serves the district best and serves the community best, I couldn't move away from the fact that, okay, we gave him this opportunity to be this principal with the understanding he would go ahead and become the fully certified principal. So, you know, I needed to be convinced that that's something he was willing to do so that by this winter, when we're offering contracts, I can say to you, this is the contract I'd like to give him. And so, you know, I knew tonight in executive session, I was going to say to you, you know, I need your help to decide, do I give him a contract to be a principal? Do I give him a contract that he meets the requirements for at this point, which is a principal teacher position? Or, you know, Mr. Vondolowski and I have talked that maybe there's other positions he wants to be considered for. So, again, knowing I'm not bringing the contract to you till next month, I wanted to make sure I had a sense of where the board is and what the board thinks we should do, because, you know, I didn't want to do something that you wouldn't support. I don't want to take someone all the way to the board and then say, you know, have the board say, well, Jack, we're not going to support that. And if a number of board members in private conversations at different times, and this isn't a group of you, have said, well, Jack, the employees are your employees, not our employees. So you do what you need to do. And so one of the things about that is, and this pertains to everything that we're going to talk about in executive session. Okay. One of the things that I know when you hired me is you asked me, hey, Jack, can you create some stability? Can you help us get to a better place? So the new superintendent coming in is there. And so one of the things that doesn't create stability is for me to say, you know, you're out. For me to say, you know, you've got to go in a different position because this isn't working out. So I wanted to make sure I was doing stuff that you'd feel comfortable about and supported what we're trying to do overall. So I don't want to go into any more real details about that. I think that you all saw the contracts that were handed out. You know, maybe you didn't see them early and you didn't have a lot of input on them last year, but at some point you saw all the contracts. And so there is something about it that if you had questions about any of those other details, you could talk to me about that because it'll be my recommendation. But I, you know, what I've shared with Joe is that I really appreciate that Patrick hired him. It's working out in ways that I'm happy about. But at the same time, if you're working in Christian schools and charter schools, the rules are very different than public schools. And when you sign on to be working in a public school, you have to understand the expectation is you're going to meet the requirements to do that. And so, you know, again, while my conversations with him may be different than Patrick's, I just wanted to make sure that you and him and everybody were always, you know, show me the commitment to make these other things happen. Give us a timeline of how long it's going to take, because I have a sense that were I to tell you offhand what I think this would take, it wouldn't take just an emergency certificate for next year. It'd take one for at least the following year, too. So there are things about it that I just wanted to make sure that I shared with you that's, you know, again, putting everything on the table. And I think I'll stop there and see if any of you have questions. I will tell you that, you know, because this is such an unusual piece, I didn't know what your reaction would be or what you would say, but I did want you to know that Joe did ask me, one, could he sit in on the meeting, you know, in the confidential meeting? And I said, I can't speak to the board to that. So nobody said, well, could we just bring him into that? So that didn't happen. I had to assume that he had a reason to want to hear this, so that at some point he could respond to me or he could respond to the board about those things. But I just didn't know. So, you know, as I'm telling you, I'll answer any questions. You know, I'll leave it up to the board to decide how this goes. And then we'll stop and go into executive session about the other matters.
Does anybody have any questions? Can they ask Joe questions directly? Or is there something that Joe would like to share with us? Is that appropriate?
To be honest with you, that's why I was reaching out to the attorney to see. I think it's up to you and as the president and the board. He's asked for it not to be an executive session. He knows that anybody would hear this. If you chose to turn to him and say, Joe, is there anything you'd like to add or, you know, any questions that any of you had for him? You know, he may appreciate that opportunity.
Okay. If everybody's comfortable, I think that would be fair because there may be questions. So How about we'll start with the board, and if the board has questions for Joe, please ask. And anyone? No? Okay.
I guess my question is, where are you at in the process then? Of
certified.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I have applied at the University of Alaska in Anchorage, and my application was accepted. There's more steps to get into the educational leadership program, and I have reached out to them and said, hey, when can I talk to someone about this and what we need to do? And they said, we are working on all of the winter enrollments right now. As soon as we process all winter enrollments, we've not started on summer enrollments yet. And so they'll get back to me on steps or anything that they need from me on enrolling in the admin program. But I have applied, I have been accepted, and planning to start in the summer.
Thank you.
If I could, Joe, I'm going to give a little bit of my perspective on it. And just if you would, you know, if I say something wrong, when you ask the question, where are you at in the process? To be a principal, it requires in the state of Alaska a master's degree in education leadership or a principal certificate. I had a master's degree in counseling, so I went for the principal certificate, you know, slightly different. Joe does not have his master's, and he doesn't, you know, the enrollment he's talking about is for both a master's to get him through that ed leadership piece. And then again, like he said, they're processing other things. So probably a starting point, optimistically, I think, Joe, is that it would start with some classes this upcoming summer, or would it be next fall that you're planning that you might be getting into the program?
I applied for this summer.
Okay.
Does anybody else have questions?
Yes, this is Brenda Wilson. I'm in King Cove. Do you like Sandpoint?
I do. I love it here. I bought a home here, just completed that, and had no intentions of leaving. And so I just need to make my plans depending on what the contract offer is going to be. So that's why I'm asking at this time.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know, I've got two grandchildren in Sandpoint, so I keep a close eye on the school, and there is some things that you've changed that has made the school better this year. So thank you for that.
I feel like I might have more questions. Are we going to give him a chance to speak, Riette, or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just figured if the board had questions. I thought that maybe the board could ask him questions first, and then he can share with us some of the things of his thoughts. So, yeah.
I would just saying that I think I might have more questions after I hear him speak as well.
Okay. Riette, do you have any questions right now, or should I just let Joe?
That sounds fine, Riette.
Okay. Joe, is there anything you'd like to share with the board?
There is. I just wanted to say just a few things. The current contract that I am serving under is the contract that I was offered. And there was an agreement that I would pursue my admin license, which I am doing. I've been accepted into the school, and I've submitted all my documents, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. I accepted the contract in good faith. I moved my family of six here on that basis. I've heard some concerns of the board are that they did not know about the status of my certification. And so I'm sorry about that. I do believe there was a board member involved in my interview. So, and I didn't know that the powers that be hadn't communicated that. I do know that when I interviewed with the teaching staff that they brought that up and we had a conversation about me enrolling in a program. So I'm not sure where that ball was dropped. I have been in education for over two decades. I have been the administrator for a school of over 900 students for about 8 years, and that was a public school. So I did think that I had heard also that there were concerns about how much pay I was getting and what step that I came in under. But with my experience and having served in such a large school, public school, for so long, I didn't think coming in at step four was an overreach. And then lastly, I wanted to say that I do meet all of the qualifications to be a principal in the state of Alaska. The state of Alaska has opened up the emergency license for principals, of which I qualify. And so I just wanted to say that. That's really all I wanted to share. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joe. I know each emergency license is for 1 year. Is there a time period in which you no longer, when you no longer can apply for them? So let's say he's applied for his program, and just knowing how hard it is to manage a family and go to school at the same time, it might take a little bit longer than what you would if you were just applying and going to school. Is there a number of emergency certificates, or do we know?
This is Alaska's first year to offer emergency certificates to principals. And so one of the things about that is, what they said is that they kind of, and I have to say this, I haven't seen the application that he did. I have applications on my desk for other people who still haven't submitted them yet. And I have applications on my desk for the blank form. But one of the things that in talking with Sandra Meredith, who heads teacher certification, she said that what the department wants to see, what the district should require, is that there's a certain amount of progress, each year to do this. And so it's given as a 1 year thing, because many people, the last things they need to become a principal take less than a year. This is not the situation here. And so one of the things about that is, I think this is fair to say, I don't think when Patrick and Joe were talking about this job, I don't know that people went into, okay, you have to enroll in that program by August 1st, because then he would have been starting classes this winter. His application process has taken a little bit. Now it's holed up because they're going to start a new semester. It may be that, one of the things I could say to Joe before I offer him a contract next month is, Joe, and again, I've sent him multiple emails and he's reminded me of the things he's doing. Joe, how long does it take? How many classes are there? How many are you going to take each semester? That kind of stuff is information that would be helpful for me to be able to say to you, okay, now I have a really good sense. It's 1 year. It's because of his family and other commitments. It's going to take 2 years, 3 years. I don't know what those answers are yet, but I know, him and I have talked about the fact that that would really help me, have you better prepared for what you'd be signing on to. And, I do appreciate that Joe mentioned where he was in the step placement, because ultimately I assumed, because once I saw an emergency certificate, I thought that he might have come in at a different spot. But, when I saw where it was, I just, I recognized that somebody had given him some years of experience for what he's done. So.
Okay.
But that was it. I just wanted to throw it out there. I'm not bringing the contracts to you today. I'm not asking you to commit to anything yet. I wanted you to hear my side. I didn't know that Joe would do this, but this is good that at least you've heard his side too. Sorry, Hillary.
I just have a question. So when you apply for this emergency certificate,
Is there a date where he has to reapply for it again?
Well, he can't reapply for it without me saying I'm the superintendent till July 1st.
Oh, okay.
And so he can't apply for an emergency certificate without me as a superintendent saying I'm going to do that. And in some conversations, he said, well, wait, once one superintendent says I'll get you an emergency certificate, wouldn't all of them do that? And I said, well, no, you know, that may be one of the challenges that I had. I know you have leaders in buildings that have the background that he has. They have experience in other schools. They've got a bachelor's degree in education, and they're serving as principal teachers. Today, when I finally took a look at the job description for a principal teacher that Dave sent to me, one of the things it says that they don't are required to have a principal certificate when they start, but it would be recommended that they had a principal certificate. Now, again, he could be a principal's teacher and working on this, but there's a significant difference in the pay a principal teacher makes from a principal. And again, you know, Joe's shared, he's bought a home here. He's moved his family here. There are a lot of things that, you know, again, when I talked to him about commitments Patrick made or, you know, things, I said, I need more information. And, you know, that was something that, again, he didn't necessarily anticipate. He thought I would just, because we had given him one emergency certificate, I would just sign on and the next person would sign on and that would just continue for as long as it needed. Well, I'm not going to sign on until I know exactly how long it's going to take and that the commitment's there to make it happen. Because in July, when I'm gone, I'm just afraid the next superintendent is going to hear, well, the last superintendent did it. Why won't you do it? You know, so I did want to make sure that I knew what commitment Joe was ready to make to before I brought that to you in January.
Okay. Any other questions?
Joe, what are like some of your maybe expectations in a new contract or maybe your wishes or what are you looking for in a new contract?
Well, that's a good question. I think that I have done a fair job in my role. I know that in 20 years of education, I don't think I've ever worked as hard in a job. I am at the school from 7 o'clock in the morning till late there several evenings. And it's been a lot of work and it's been good work. It's a good group of people. I enjoy the community. I enjoy the families. But I'm not really interested in taking a pay cut. And I'm not really interested in becoming a principal teacher if you want me to do the principal job, I'm happy to do it. I love the job. I enjoy the job. I would like to return. But if the terms need to be changed from the district, that's fine. And I'll look at them and see what the offer is and, you know, suspend judgment until that time. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Oh, Harlan? Nothing? Okay. Rita, did you have anything or no?
No.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for the opportunity. Have a good night.
You too. So next would be executive session with the items of superintendent evaluation, personal matters, 23-24 contracts, and certified and classified contracts. I'd entertain a motion to enter into executive session.
Can you have Austin send me the link in my Brenda W email?
we're going to move everyone into a break.
I think we put everybody into a room. You won't have to click off. We just put everybody into a breakout room.
Okay. Alrighty. Thanks.
And with that motion to invite Jack Welsh into
executive I'll make session. Motion for what you said.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion made by Harlan to enter into executive session, inviting Jack Welsh, seconded by Hillary. Roll call.
Carlene?
Yes, and I'm just going to say I'm going to use the bathroom real quick, so if we can take like maybe a 1 minute break after roll call.
Okay.
No. Rita?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carmen?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.